Should I do everything possible to invest in cannabis?
Only if you really want to make the most of your life while you're here.
Wow.
Like, that is...
You just guilt-tripped me into supporting the growth of cannabis. Hey, my name is Billy Depp, and I'm a restaurateur obsessed with what it takes to create the most memorable meals ever. Having come up working almost every position in the business, I've seen how there are usually hundreds of details that need to be orchestrated perfectly to satisfy the highest of expectations among all those that food brings together. This mix in chemistry, or lack thereof, makes for mind-blowing storytelling about more than just what's on the plate. So in each episode, with a unique and unforgettable guest, we will discuss the power of food, the importance of coming together for meals, and unravel, explore, and discover a life-changing dining experience that has forever impacted lives. This is the Meal of Your Life podcast. What's happening, everyone? Thank you so much for tuning back into the show. Today is going to be really fun. I had a ball talking about marijuana. I can barely even say it. Marijuana, cannabis. I'm not so familiar with it. I've always thought it was taboo and illegal and just something to be hush-hush about. But it seems like everyone's talking about it. And this chef I met, Chef Chris, the Herbal Chef, is now doing these beautiful high-end gourmet cannabis-infused meal experiences in people's homes and at pop-ups for like $500 and crazy amounts of money and time and love put into these dishes and experiences, and he's very cool to talk to. So I think you're going to dig this. It's all new territory for me, and I'm just my mind is blown, and I hope you dig this too. And thank you so much to the National Restaurant Show, by the way, who gave us a podcast booth there and introduced me to the Herbal Chef. I will not forget this. You can hear the hustle and bustle and craze in the background, and we are just getting all up in it, having a ball. And I hope you enjoy too.
Yeah, no, I totally misread our email chain, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We were making jokes. Of course, no disrespect, but we were like,
of course.
We're like, you know, maybe he's stoned and has the munchies, and he's hitting every single free, like, you know,
making the
booth.
Rounds.
Yeah, at the National Restaurant Show. That would be the most amazing place ever, because it's all samples from all over the world.
No, I couldn't agree more, but it was not that at all. I'm speaking tomorrow. It's called Cannabis and Culinary, the New Frontier. Basically, what we're doing with cannabis and how we're innovating it, what we're doing to make it accessible by the masses, and how we're transforming food culture around cannabis.
How are you doing that? I mean, I think this is fascinating. I was reading a little bit about it, but how are you doing? How did you come about it, first of all?
So I first was studying molecular cell biology at UC Santa Cruz, and I developed this thirst for knowledge. I was like, you know, if I'm going to smoke every day, I need to know what I'm putting into my body. Yeah. And then it quickly became, oh, wait a minute, there's something here. I started to learn about the endocannabinoid system, which every human being has. I started to learn about the...
What is that?
The endocannabinoid system is a cluster of receptors found in the nervous system and in our brain. We have two main receptor sites called CB1 and CB2. Hmm. And so through those receptor sites, we're able to receive things called cannabinoids. And as we know, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC. And that is the psychoactive. Cannabinoids are the non-psychoactive, but they help in a plethora of ways, as well as terpenes. So there's three main components of cannabis that we're talking about. There's THC, which gets you high, the feeling of getting high. The cannabinoids, CBDs, which are the non-psychoactive and medicinal components. And then the terpenes, which are the flavor and aromatic components that also kind of guide you. The entourage effect gives you more of a well-rounded high. So what we're doing is figuring out how that plays into a dining situation. I don't know if you've ever eaten.
I have not.
So you've what never do you eaten edible?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Have you ever smoked?
No, I've never done that. but I am attracted to, I can be honest about this. I'm actually attracted to the idea of eating edibles.
Yeah.
I find it interesting. I mean, it's all natural.
There's no stigma behind it. There's no stigma the same as smoking or inhaling something. It's very different. So that was my whole idea, is like, how do I reach the world? Because when I was studying this at UC Santa Cruz, I realized why it was illegal was complete fabrication. And the whole reefer madness was made up by big tobacco, big oil, big cotton, because it's such a rival cash crop.
Let's unravel that. But first, I got to ask, and I'm going to show my cards here that I'm really behind on this. You just separated those three components.
Right.
Do you... They just live all together. You don't...
In harmony.
Yes.
Right. You can extract each one differently.
That's what I was
wondering. And there are very different extraction points for all three of them. And you can extract... literally by each terpene. So, and I'll go into more of this as I explain.
That's
more.
That's mind-blowing.
I mean, this is a whole science. This is not like, hey, let's get high and throw some weed butter and something. Like, this is me dissecting it down to the, like, molecular component.
Which is why I was acknowledging that I was being incredibly ignorant and rude, but just making a joke at the beginning that the guy's probably high eating all the free stuff.
We get that a lot. Also, though, I deserve it if I'm late, so... I mean, it's a bottom line, right?
The best would be like, and I'm actually really high. No, I'm just kidding. So the part about the cigarette companies.
That big tobacco, big cotton, big oil. They basically had an interest in shutting down hemp as a industrial product because it was taking over as a cash crop. And it was costing the farmers less money to produce it than it does to produce cotton or textile or whatever we're using now.
Yeah, and forever. I mean, hemp goes back so...
I mean, it's mind-blowing. So when I found that out, and then I found out the medicinal component of how it could help the endocannabinoid system. The endocannabinoid system also, it helps the body run more efficiently. It's the energy center of the body. So it facilitates energy to all of our major organs. So when that is running efficiently, our whole body runs more efficiently. And that's what we want out of our bodies, correct? That if we are running more efficiently, we're able to accomplish more. We're able to think quicker. We're able to run fast. Like, we're able to just be, you know, better and feel better. And that's what the whole... So when I found this out, I was like, there's something here that's not being told, and I need to get on top of this now. When I researched it, there was maybe 20 papers in our database, and we had a huge database at Santa Cruz about the endocannabinoid system, and that was in 2010. So, I mean, it had just been discovered in 1990, which means that, like, either people were not paying attention or they were just not putting this in the books. Like, I don't know how you miss an entire receptive system.
Yeah, and I imagine today with the growth, explosion, evolution of legalization of marijuana, there's more data.
Oh, way more, yeah.
More application with...
And I mean, a lot of it's getting shadowed by like the ignorance in the industry of like, hey, let's put weed in everything, and not really understanding why or how it's going to help the body, or what, you know, these terpenes actually do, or what the CBD actually does, what the CBG, all the different cannabinoids do. So now that's really taken being dissected, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to. There's a lot of big companies like Leafly and like, you know, all these different companies that are really taking it to the next level, as well as the Herbal Chef, in dissecting how this can be used properly and for medicine and for recreation, and like what type of mood you want to be in, what type of, you know, there's...
How do you do it?
Yeah.
So tell me.
I mean, so basically the three components that I was talking about, the cannabinoids, the THC, and then the terpenes. Terpenes are the flavor and aromatic profile found in everything. So when you smell a rose, when you smell lavender, when you smell, you know, whatever, you're smelling a terpene. Hmm. Same thing that's found in cannabis, which is why you smell like this super piney cannabis, and then you smell this super skunky cannabis. And then they have different terpenes.
What are those differences? Is it where they come from? Is it a different sort of just...
The soil. So just as wine is like, there's different soil that creates the different notes in the grapes. That's the same thing with cannabis. The different soil, different nutrients, everything is... Also, the genus of the plant plays a role in that as well. So if it's, you know, if you get a Jack Herrera that's very dominant in pinene, and then you plant that in, and then you have all, you know, great soil, and you're going to get the main genus, the main terpene in there is going to be pinene. But you may, through the terroir, you may get some other notes of other terpenes, you may get some other notes of other cannabinoids, just because of the soil. So it's literally, it, like, I can go so fucking deep, or we can,
To your wine sort of reference, are there such things evolving where we're starting to get sort of a sommelier of cannabis?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, the restaurant that we're opening up the first cannabis restaurant in the world.
What?
And that's happening in January 2018 now.
Where?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
And it basically, we don't have servers. We have guides. And we have, like, cannabis sommeliers where they know exactly what's going on. They know the stages of the cannabis. They know, like, when you're going to hit your munchies. They know when, like, you're going to hit your euphoria. They know when you're going to peter out. Like, all this type of stuff is going to come into play.
And I imagine the health benefits other benefits.
Of course. Oh, my God. There's, like, health. The medicinal benefits alone are so substantial that it is now irresponsible not to have safe access to cannabis for all human beings.
What are some of them?
I mean, it depends on what ailment
you
have.
Or some of them that most people don't know.
I mean, we've seen that it can literally stop cancer cell growth in its tracks. It can reverse it and even kill it. We've seen that it can, you know, help multiple sclerosis. We've seen that it can help glaucoma, that it can help arthritis, that it can help diabetes. I mean, literally, the possibilities are endless because that endocannabinoid system is entrenched in our entire body. So like I said, when that's efficient, when that's running efficiently, we have all these benefits that can come out. Yeah.
It's crazy. And my mind is blown.
So, but like the terpenes, like for instance, when you're smelling lavender and you feel that calming effect, it's not because you're smelling lavender. It's because you're smelling myrcene, which is a terpene that's active in lavender. Hmm. So that should give you an idea of, you know, like when you're smoking this cannabis or when you're inhaling this type of cannabis, you're vaporizing it, however, or you're extracting it and then you're putting it into food. That is the type of effect that you're going to have on your body. And so it's all like now that's basically when you come to our dining experience, you're getting a 10-course, 15-course meal, and through each course, like through the first couple courses, you're going to feel this little elevation, right? And then it kind of plateaus in this euphoria zone. And that's where
right
we keep
there at
you.
The restaurant.
Well, yeah, that's what's going to happen at the restaurant. But this is what we do now. This
oh, got
we,
it.
We currently fly all over the world.
Yes, yeah, so you're doing in-home or private dining experiences,
yep,
with this sort of meal experience.
Yeah.
So, okay, keep going with this meal experience.
So we get the best ingredients in the world. All my whole kitchen staff, me, myself, we've all trained at Michelin restaurants.
Really?
Yeah.
So I could hire you to come to my house for a dinner party.
Yeah.
And what are some of the things you ask or want to create in that space?
We ask, you know, if there's any allergies. We ask if there's any, you know, if there's anything that we need to know, if it's a special day, like, mm-hmm, what can we go off of? Give us something. What do you love? What do you like? What's your tolerance level? How do you typically, you know, do you smoke cannabis? Do you eat edibles usually? What is it going on in your life?
What do you want to accomplish, basically?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Out of this? And
what kind of memory would you like?
Exactly.
Which is really the key to any meal experience.
I mean, I think that's the key. Like, that's why I became a chef. I want to create memories for people. And I think that's why chefs in general do what they do, is because they genuinely want to create memories for people. And so to create this memory on a new sort of experiential level, where your consciousness is altered because of the state that you're in, what you're ingesting, then it just provides this whole other perspective that's never been done before. And that's what we've pioneered, is how to work with this plant, how to work with the human anatomy, how to work with human perspective into making this something like unforgettable.
So how are you infusing it into the food normally?
Typically, it's a lab-tested extract. So we work with certain labs. We have to have a full cannabinoid profile, because that's the most important part. That's where you get your terpenes, your CBD, and that entourage effect that works in harmony with tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, the psychoactive. That is what creates a well-rounded high, to the point where you're going to enjoy every part of it. It's not too psychoactive and it's not too dull. It's like it's right in the middle, where you feel centered, you feel euphoric, you feel happy, you feel alert, and you're able to enjoy what's going on in front of you.
And what kind of dishes are you creating? What does it look like?
It really depends on the season. We go seasonal.
Is your extraction a liquid? Or
it's a very viscous, like you wouldn't, if you held it upside down, it wouldn't drop unless it like went below or it went it heated up a little bit.
Got it.
So it's super viscous.
And you're just mixing it into the components of your...
It depends on what we're making in that dish. Like we'll do, you know, liquid nitrogen, and we'll do we'll have to do nitrous in the ISI canister, and like we'll infuse it in various ways depending on the dish. We'll put it in our like we can cure our meats with it. We can cure our egg yolks with it. But we don't do that because we can't control the amount of THC that's being extracted. And it's all about the dosage. Because if I were to give you a 100-milligram dose and you were to get messed up, that would ruin everything that we're working towards. So we're so particular with the dosage. We're so particular with how we utilize this experience because we want it to be good for you.
So I'm the kind of guy that doesn't like to see leftovers go to waste. So if somebody was not eating their entire meal, it would be... frowned upon to just clear other people's plates.
That's how I was raised.
Don't clear other people's plates in this particular situation.
Well, typically you're getting 1 to 2 milligrams per course. The average person we serve, 1 to 2 milligrams per course over 10 courses.
What are you trying to get? What's
10 milligrams?
10 is a good number.
10 milligrams is like a great number for what our dining experience is like. And we also have a wine pairing. We have our wine sommelier, Peter Krause, that is there. We have our culinary director, Gary Nguyen, which is there. Like we're customizing this to what we really want out of it. Yeah. And so with the wine pairing and with the 10 milligrams of cannabis, we found it to be just like the perfect match of, euphoria. So by the end of it, so as I was explaining, you hit this plateau, right, of euphoria. And now where you would normally start to get the munchies and go down, instead of that, we have 1 milligram in each dish, so we keep you up in this zone until at the end of it, where about 45 minutes into your high, you start to get what's known as the munchies.
Yeah.
Insatiable hunger.
Right.
And you're just like, I want to fucking eat everything. And that's when we bring in the main courses. That's when you're going to get course 7, 8, and then, or like, yeah, 7 and 8, right? 6, 7, 8. And that's your main courses. That's where you're going to get your Wagyu. That's where you're going to get your yellowfin. That's where you're going to get, you know, whatever your proteins, your main proteins are, your lamb, your rabbit, your whatever.
I thought you were going to say like your triple cheeseburgers and your cheese fries and your Belgian waffles with bacon on them.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that going on, but we're not that's not what we associate with.
No, of course.
We want to bring this whole new level to it. And so when, you know, after you're satiated from those main courses, then it goes into like where you're so relaxed and, you know, like in this perfectly relaxed zone where now that's where you start to taper off. That's where you get your dessert courses and you're just in this mode of relaxation and you get your dessert and your pedophores and we just end it the night with you feeling so relaxed and so calm that it's just this beautiful feeling.
How do you find the conversations to be around that table? Because a meal experience, especially one in which you're trying to make memorable, has much to do with
the ambiance.
The ambiance,
everything.
The environment, the conversation. How do you find those things to play out, and what does your team bring to the table?
Yeah, so I mean, generally speaking, we have a lot of different things that we implement for the atmosphere. We always have beautiful chargers. We always have, you know, nice wooden plates. We always have the music, the lighting, everything is curated. And then also our centerpiece is a terpene bowl. So we're going back to the terpenes, those aromas, the olfactory sense, the system in our body is directly linked to memory. So that's one of the strongest memory links that we have. When we smell something, it brings nostalgia. And so what we do in these terpene bowls is we'll take the extract out of a certain cannabis strain and then we'll put it in there with some CO2 and hot water, and it basically bubbles over in this aroma. So as you're eating your sous vide egg yolk with bacon mousse, crispy pancetta, and blood orange foam with brioche, you're getting this super cheesy, skunky smell from that cannabis, and you're getting this cheesy smell, and you're eating bacon and eggs, and you're like, and it's just messing with your mind, like it's putting you in this whole nother level. That's what we do. It's like this, you know, sensory experience.
If you're doing this in your house, does it smell like
weed?
Weed?
No. Nope.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and you won't ever taste it either. That's something that we're big on is we want you, like the ingredients, we go out of our way to, like, we'll go foraging for them sometimes. We'll go fishing. We'll go hunting. Like, we'll go out of our way to get the best ingredients possible. And if we can't go and do that, we'll get it from purveyors that we know have the highest quality available.
So are you able to do this? Let me put that a different way, because I know what the answer is. Do you have to do this only where it's legal?
Yes.
And do people have to show medical cards?
Yes. All that legal stuff has to be done in California. But sometimes when we get flown out of the country.
I'm sure you're doing underground.
We source from over there. We do everything legally. Like, no matter what, we never cross states with cannabis. We never do anything that is illegal that could get my business shut down. But like we do, you know, these out of country experiences, and we do certain things where we can still travel the world and make this happen. And then in the legal states, it's very easy to do as well.
How is it received in other countries?
Depends on the country. We've gotten a lot of great feedback from the Middle East. We've gotten a lot of great feedback.
I did not think that was going to be your first one.
Yeah, it very interesting. But I'm also Middle Eastern. So when they saw that I was doing Middle Eastern dishes with cannabis, it like created this giant uproar in Lebanon and Jordan and all over the place over there.
Tell me about it.
It was just crazy. Like, we've been covered by Reuters and AFP. And so those outlets go all around the world. And so it was just crazy. I got an influx of emails, thousands of emails from like people claiming that they're my cousins, that we, you know, like, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. Your name's everywhere here in Jordan. And it's just blowing up over there. And then in Spain, we get a lot of good feedback. In where else? In like Ireland, we get a lot of good feedback. In the UK, in Africa. Japan is a little bit different. We've gotten front page of Japan Today. But then having, it was very mixed reviews, like very, very, like people think that it's on the same level as what was it? Somebody was like, oh, great. Now they're going to start putting cyanide in the food, too. Like, that's what they think it's on the same level as.
Where have you found the exact opposite reaction? Where are people completely rejecting you?
That was most of my life, honestly, until the past year and a half, 2 years. It was like, what is this? Like, what are you even doing? Why are you doing this? Like, my parents were the biggest people against what I was doing at the time because they just didn't have the knowledge.
And
it's the same thing with Middle America. They didn't even want me in the house. Like, they didn't want me. Yeah, no, nowhere near it. It was more about. They just didn't understand. They didn't have the knowledge of why this was important to me, what this had to do with the human body, how this had to do with medicine. Like, they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
So through educating them, I found it very similar to like educating, you know, the world that just has zero knowledge of cannabis. And all the videos that have gone viral, I can't even sit and scroll through the comments because I get so frustrated. These people are bagging on it and they have no idea what they're talking about.
You've got to tell me, obviously this is called the meal of your life. Many people have just been telling me about a particular meal that stands out in their memory, a mission which you have sort of put your life behind, so you know the value of it and why I'm passionate about it as a restaurateur. Whether it was good, bad, whatever differentiated it to make it memorable for you, you've got to tell me. I'm hoping that it has something to do with this because you've gone so deep into potentially psychologically reflective
eating.
Can you tell me about a particular meal that may have
I thought about this for a while, and to be honest, it's not a meal that made the meal of my life. It wasn't a meal that I had. It was actually the absence of a meal that I had that was a crux of how I changed my career path overnight. I was sitting there in college in my house, and I just missed my grandmother and my mom and all my family's cooking. And that's what I had grown up with, being Middle Eastern. It was very much about the food culture. And the absence of that made me desperately sad. It was a void that I didn't know how to fill because I cooked with my parents, I cooked with my grandma, I cooked with my mom, but I didn't have that.
What were you cooking?
Like the, you know, stuffed grape leaves and like what was I cooking at college?
With your mom. Tell me a little about your family.
So we like mincef and warak diwali and like the stuffed grape leaves, the lamb with the yogurt or the yogurt and the goat's milk sauce over rice, lots of rice, pilaf, lots of lamb, lots of, you know, all these like traditional old school Middle Eastern recipes, kanafe and baklava and just all these amazing, amazing.
Where were
things.
They from specifically?
Jordan.
And had you been there before?
I hadn't, and I haven't.
But they brought it to you in America through this sharing.
Well, my grandparents, my grandparents, like, you know, took the boat over, and, you know, it was, my dad was born in Jordan, my mom was born in New York, I was born in New York, so it was very, like, we had just come over, and so and all of my family is very in tune with that traditional cooking, so that's where I learned it, and so when I didn't have that, pardon me, when I didn't have that, I was like, there's an absence in my life that I need to be filled. Like, this is not okay with me. And that's when my whole mind shifted to, I can't go to medical school and go to school for another 8 years. Like, that's not what I meant to do. I meant to help people, but in a different way. And that was when I realized that I needed to go pursue cooking right away. And through nutrition, I could help people. And then learning, you know, how to cook, and then having this backup knowledge of cannabis that I studied in college, which I had no idea I was going to use yet. But I all of a sudden it just dawned on me. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I not doing this? So I started to develop a scientific method of how to extract and, you know, at what temperature points things were combusting and I was losing potency and just all these different components that were happening and variables that I was trying to control. And that eventually led into the Herbal Chef.
Tell me, I'm just picturing this for a moment. I want to have a more accurate picture of this. So you're sitting there and you're starving.
I'm sitting in my dorm room. Actually, I've told this story once before. I probably was, knowing me in college.
So you are stoned and you are starving.
And I'm looking at this.
You could have ordered anything. You could have gotten a
pizza. No, I couldn't because I'm a broke college student.
But you missed those memories popped up. Those flavor profiles
and the memories though, the memories associated with those meals, and like I missed that whole interaction. I was like, that is a big part of my life that I realize right now that it's missing. And that was when
you associated that with bettering people's lives, healing, like in replacement of medical.
That's exactly what happened. I that was what I thought of it.
Quite honestly, you're still in medical because you're in medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Is that a really accurate way of saying
it? I mean, it is.
Do you just hate, or do you hate when people call it medical marijuana? Because it's not.
You can call it whatever you want. The bottom line is it's helping people in so many ways. It's not only helping people medicinally, it's helping people, like, in the industrial world, hemp can be used for 50,000 applications, from creating clothing to creating housing to creating plastics to and using less resources to create those products. So not only is this a, you know, medical issue, this is a humanitarian issue of conservation of resources. And that is what, like, that's why it's more to me than just getting high. It's really about the whole overall picture of what cannabis and hemp can bring to the table.
Okay, that is the Herbal Chef. I told you, totally crazy stuff. I mean, it's amazing what's happening with marijuana and food. And is this going to be a thing? I mean, is there going to be like fast food places one day around all of this? Oh my gosh, the world's changing. This is fabulous. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me on this exploration into that world. It's also new and exciting. And I've just been enjoying this. I hope you have too. I continue to keep pushing for great interviews for the future. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Really helps me give some feedback and motivation to keep going and to keep driving the program. And you are awesome for those of you who have hit me on social with suggestions, requests. It's at Billy Deck. If you haven't, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's just my name, D-E-C. It's the last name. That's the spelling. Don't put a K on. And I appreciate all of you for spreading the word. Thank you so much. We are going to keep having fun and exploring. I appreciate you. See you next week. Thanks.